This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, everything begins with the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Everything begins with the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. A heart which is filled with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is filled with His noor, is a heart that is free from stress, free from fear of everything on the face of the earth, free from fear of people and things, free from fear of incidents, free from fear of circumstances. And the only way to free yourself from all of that is to develop the azmat and the glory and magnificence of Allah in our hearts. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this session of ours on living Islam, let us think about this and say that what is it that I need to do in order to live my life according to Islam? And the thing I need to do in order to live my life according to Islam is to bring into my heart the glory and majesty of Allah. When I can do that successfully, inshallah, then living my life becomes easy according to Islam, because then the single criterion for all decision making becomes, does it please Allah? And if the answer is yes, I do it. If the answer is no, I don't do it. If the answer is I don't know, then I find out before I do anything. So I find out and then I do if it is in my favor, meaning that I do the action if it pleases Allah, and I do not do the action if it does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran in many places. One of the finest places, if not the best, is the famous ayat which all of us know, which is ayat al-Kursi in Surah al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means Allah, there is no deity, no one worthy of worship except Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, the ever living, the sustainer of all existence, of all creation. Neither drowsiness overtakes Him nor sleep. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is it that can intercede with Him except by His permission? He knows what is before them and what will be after them. He knows the present and He knows the future. And they cannot encompass anything of His knowledge except what He wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and their preservation, the preservation of the heavens and the earth, does not tire Him. He doesn't get tired. He does not need any rest. And He is وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, He is the most high and the most great. As we know, this ayat comes before the other ayat after this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَمْ فِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Now, and then Allah continues and said, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first introduced himself. He introduced himself in this beautiful ayat, Ayatul Kursi. There are many tafasir about this. There are many lectures on this Ayatul Kursi, on the important, significant elements of Arabic grammar that are reflected in it, of the glory and magnificence of the ayat itself, and so on and so on. By all means, please listen to all that. My point is, the thing to do is not simply to listen to lectures and analysis of Ayatul Kursi. The thing to do is, when we read Ayatul Kursi, and this is part of our morning and evening azkar, so we read Ayatul Kursi in the morning and in the evening. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is sufficient for the slave to protect him from anything, because this is the ayat also of protection. We read Ayatul Kursi at the end of every Fard Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who reads Ayatul Kursi after the Fard Salah is over, nothing stands between him and Jannah except his death. Meaning that as soon as he dies, he will go to Jannah, inshallah. And this is for the person who recites Ayatul Kursi after Fard Salah. So some of the ulama have said that the best way to ensure that is also to recite Ayatul Kursi just before Taslim, just before we make Salam. And then immediately after Salam, after you have said Astaghfirullah 3 times, then you recite Ayatul Kursi. This inshallah fulfills that requirement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said the one who does that, inshallah Allah will give him Jannah as soon as the person dies. Now that is the importance and the significance of this magnificent ayat of the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he has described himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about now making choices. And that's the reason I told you that no matter what lecture you want to listen to and so on, and all about the analysis of the grammar and this and that, by all means, please, most welcome to listen to all that. But that is not the important point. The important point is to ask yourself, what is happening to me when I read Ayatul Kursi? What is happening to me when I listen to Ayatul Kursi? What happens to me when I recite Ayatul Kursi? Because that's the only thing which counts. Allah will not ask you He will not ask you about the intricacies of grammar. He will ask you what happened to you. Did your heart change? Did you think differently and live differently and make different decisions after reading this introduction of mine? Because now my glory and magnificence should have filled your heart. And if my glory and magnificence had filled your heart, then would you have taken the decisions that you took? So this is the point I want to make, which is that the purpose of the Living Islam lectures is to enable us to live by this religion, not just merely to academically understand it. As I told you, I'm not discounting the importance of knowledge or of academics. Anyone who thinks that is grossly mistaken. I am talking about the fact that all academic focus and all academics must lead to a result. It's like reading a recipe book contrasted with cooking that particular food, cooking that particular dish. There is a world of difference. Now, obviously, nobody says don't read the recipe book, because if you want to cook a particular thing, then you need to know how it is to be done. And how do you find that? By reading the recipe book. By all means, read the recipe book. But if you read the recipe book and you memorize the recipe book and you then become the best reciter of this recipe book in a beautiful tone, and then you analyze and super analyze that recipe book in the context of all the words that are in it and all the nuances of grammar and whatnot, you will still remain hungry because you have not cooked anything. You are engrossed in the book, you can't eat the book. The book will not fill your belly. If you want that to benefit from the recipe book, why was the recipe book written? It was written so that you could eat. It was written so that your hunger could be assuaged, could be satisfied. The book was not written for you to memorize it or to read it over and over again. By all means, do memorize it if you feel like doing that. Do read it over and over again, no problem. But at the end of all of that, if you have not gone to the kitchen, if you have not started cooking, then you are wasting your time. Now, this is Ta'ala Allahul Amthal wa Kalamuhu. We are Allah's Kalam and He are above the misal that we give. But the point I'm making is that that is the state of the Quran al-Majid as far as we are concerned. We are more engrossed and more concerned about memorizing it and reciting it and reading it and so on, and much less concerned about applying it in our lives. We need to look at the Kalam of Allah at the basic level and say, when I recite it, what happens to me? Right? If I recite it, what happens to me? Because the point is that if I am reciting it and nothing is happening to me, then issue. Because, what's the whole point of reading it? Because if I'm not applying and if nothing is happening to me, what is the point of that? Right? So very important for us to keep this in mind when we come to the Kalam of Allah. So here, with respect to Ayat al-Kursi specifically, I want you to do this. I want you to recite it and to focus on your heart and to see if there is any change in it. And if there is no change in it, then I want you to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your heart. I want you to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean your heart, purify your heart, to change it and to make it receptive to His Kalam. Because what is the use of our heart, which is like a piece of stone, nothing happens to it? My brothers and sisters, really seriously, let us ask ourselves this question and say, what happens to my heart? And something must happen to my heart, right? وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as one of the qualities of the believers, that when Allah is mentioned before them, then their hearts shiver with the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there is nothing that is bigger than the glory and magnificence of Allah as mentioned in Ayat al-Kursi, and if I am reading Ayat al-Kursi and it is just a mechanical thing, I am supposed to read it after every first salah, I read it, I am supposed to read it as part of my morning and night azkar, I do that, and that's the end of the story, nothing happens to my heart, I don't even look at that, I don't even think about that, I don't even reflect. Does this thing, has it affected my heart or not? I'm just doing routinely something which I'm supposed to do. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. One is somebody who is dying of starvation because he has no food. The other one is somebody who's sitting in front of the food, looking at it, but still dying of starvation because he refuses to eat that food. Now, which of these two, which is a more pathetic person? Which is somebody that we need to really marvel at their stupidity, because that's where we are. We have the Kalam of Allah, but we do not focus on applying it in our lives. We do not focus on working on it. To the contrary, we are engrossed only in the superficial aspects of it, of reading it and reciting it and so on and so forth and memorizing it. But we say, all of this is fine, excellent, alhamdulillah, it is something which will give me sawab. But is this the purpose why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Kalam? Did He send it so that I can just recite it? My brothers and sisters, therefore, look at your heart and say, what has happened to my heart as a result of this? And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly the first statement, there is no compulsion in Islam. There's no compulsion in deen. La ikraha fid deen. There's no compulsion in deen. The path of righteousness and the path of misguidance have both been clarified. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. The one who has rejected the false deities, the one who has rejected everything false, the one who has rejected all the hawa, all these his vain and false desires, the one who rejects shaitan, the one who rejects the agents of shaitan, all these things, the one who rejects them, all of these are one or the other form of taghut. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And who brought iman on Allah, and who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَمْ فِسَمَ لَهَا. This person has caught hold of, he has grabbed, he has held and created a handhold that will not break. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the one who chose Allah, then Allah will look after him. The one who chose Allah over and above all of these false things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become his protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become his helper. Right? Allah will become his wali. So Allah mentioned this. The one who does that. Allahu waliul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali. Allah is the protector. Allah is the supporter. Allah is the nourisher. Allah is the guarantor of the people who believe. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. People who believe. Who are the people who believe? Who people who have discarded everything false. They are the people who believe. The people who believe are not people who believe in falsehood and in Allah. That is shirk. What is shirk? Shirk is to join partners. So if I am saying that I have this and that, then this is shirk. So Allah is saying no. Allah says, the one who believes is the one who has rejected all falsehood and who believes only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the kalima begins with the nafi. La ilah. There is no one worthy of worship. La ilah. Illallah. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that this thing which Allah is saying, that these are the people, and what happens to them now? Allah becomes their wali. And when Allah becomes their wali, what happens to them? What happens to them is yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them from darkness into light, from misguidance into guidance, from ignorance into knowledge, right? From all kinds of evil into all kinds of goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes their protector, and when Allah becomes your protector, what happens to you? You come out of misguidance and you become guided, you become rightly guided. Ask yourself, is this worth it? And what is the alternative? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the one who denies Allah, the one who denies Muhammad or Rasulullah ﷺ, that person has denied guidance. So what happens to him? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاهُمُ التَّاغُوتُ. Their awliya, their supporters, their protectors, their friends are their taghut, are those things, are those false ideas, are those idols, are those people, are those situations, circumstances, whatever, which they are within quotes worshipping, which means that they follow them. And what do they do? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. They take them from guidance to misguidance. They take them from light into darkness. The opposite. The one who took Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his wali will go from darkness to light. The one who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his wali will go from light into darkness. Right? أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And these are the people who are the companions of the fire, where they will stay forever. Allahumma ajinna min an-nar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fire. Now, brothers and sisters, seriously, let us ask ourselves this question and say that the whole point of living Islam, how can I live Islam when my heart is filled with the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Right? There is no other way. That is the way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and magnificence permeates everything in us. And therefore, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to open our hearts to His Noor and to His glory and to His majesty. My brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to remember this and to inculcate this in our life. Now, how will that happen? By looking at our lives and by analyzing what we do and how we do it. Right? That's very important to analyze that. Not just live life mechanically, but to analyze that and say, how am I living my life today? Is this okay? Now, when I analyze my life, how must I do that? Which is, what I need to do is to take every decision that I take and then say, this decision which I took, was it taken in order to please Allah? What did Allah come into this equation? Right? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into this equation? And if Allah did not come into this equation, then what must I do about that? Okay? Because, you know, sometimes I, in my family business consulting, I have many Muslim families, big Muslim families, as my clients. So sometimes I do this exercise with them. I tell them, do a SWOT analysis, you know, of your family. And I'm asking you also to do this. I'm you know, letting the cat out of the bag, as it were. So I want you to do this honestly to yourself, as if you have not listened to this part of the lecture. So do it for yourself. Which is, do a SWOT analysis for yourself as an individual and maybe as a family as well. Now, business family, you know, doesn't matter, as a family. Now, what is a SWOT analysis? SWOT analysis is, you do an analysis of what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, what are your opportunities that face you and are available to you, and what are the threats that you might have to encounter. Now, in this SWOT analysis, once you have written this out, in your strengths, see if you have written Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your strength. See if you have written Islam as your strength. As I told you, because of this lecture, I have to tell you this, but ask yourself this question. When you are making the SWOT analysis, imagine that you didn't listen to this lecture. Just do this for yourself and say, what does my SWOT analysis tell me? Do I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my strength? Is Allah real to me? Or is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just a concept that I have been, that I have grown up with, brought up with? You know, father used to talk about Allah, mother used to mention the name of Allah. I've seen them praying, so I'm praying. It's more a habit, it's more a kind of, you know, default thing that I don't really think about too much. What exactly is it? Because results are proportionate to attitudes, right? Attitudes drive behavior, behavior drives results. This is the slogan that we used to do in GE, not attitude, they said values. Values drive behavior drive results. So I'm substituting the word attitude. My point is that if this is our attitude, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just a name, Allah is just, you know, some, I don't know what, some thought, then how do we expect to get the value? How do we expect to get strength from the glory and magnificence of Allah? How do we expect to get that? Right? Now, seriously, ask yourself this question and say, if I really want to access the glory and magnificence of Allah, if I want to access the strength and power that I get from being, from knowing that I am an abd of Allah, then how can I do that if the name of Allah, if the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does nothing to my heart? Everything begins with the state of the heart. So therefore, my request to you is, please reflect on the state of your heart and ask yourself this question and say, when I read Ayatul Kursi, what is happening to my heart? Focus on that. And if nothing is happening to your heart, see that as a major problem that you need to address and you need to sort out. It's not something to be to be, you know, ignored or wished away. Or something. No, this is something serious. How is it that I am reading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's introduction of Himself? This is the word of Allah. This is not the poetry of some great poet. This is the word of Allah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. This is the speech of Allah. And if that does not do anything to my heart, then where do I go? So seriously, ask this question. And then analyze your life and say, every decision of mine, was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I told you, the SWOT analysis, does Allah feature at all? And if Allah is not featuring in your SWOT analysis, then do something about that. The second one is assessment of life. Look at every decision that we take, and then ask yourself and say, did Allah feature in this decision? I borrowed money from the bank on interest. Did Allah feature in that decision? I sincerely hope not. Because if Allah featured in that decision, and if you deliberately decided to take an interest-based loan, even though you knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on that, then only Allah can help you. Because I raise my hands. Right? I am free of you. Because knowingly, as a Muslim, knowing that Allah declared war on you, if you indulged in this thing, knowing that if you still indulged in it, then what is there, what is left for me or anyone to say? If on the other hand you say, well, you know what, I did not know this, I didn't know that, or I may have known something but I was not aware of the seriousness of it, and so I took this decision, then the next question is, okay, alhamdulillah, at least you did that without knowing. Now that you know, what do you intend to do? Because remember, it's only actions that get results, not beliefs alone, not talking, actions. We have to actually do something. What is that something? Is analyze your life, look at it decision by decision, and say that any decision in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased, I am going to reverse. If it is a decision that I had taken, which is now over, so reversing is not an option, then I will make istighfar, I will make tawbah, I will give sadaqah, and I will ask Allah to forgive me. But if it's a decision that I had taken, hopefully, as I said, in ignorance, but whatever be the case, even if it was not ignorance, even if you did it deliberately, knowingly, you were committing kufr, but okay, so you did it, now what? Now, we don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. First thing. Second thing is, now we reverse the decision. We say, okay, this is what I did. I did wrong. I borrowed this money on interest. I should not have done that. I even realized it then. But anyway, whatever it was, I did it. Now I realize it and I am going to go back to the bank and say, take this back. I am not interested in this loan anymore. I am going to pay whatever arrears is there and I am out of this. Because believe me, you do not want to die in a state where you have listed your name in the list of the enemies of Allah. Please take my word for it. You do not want to die in that state. Right? So, please make sure that you don't. Please make sure that you do what you need to do in order to live as an obedient slave of Allah, and not as a disobedient rebel who is at war with Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, as somebody said, you know, pick someone your size, right? You want to fight? Pick someone your size. You're too small, I'm too small to fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do that. Analyze yourself. Ayatul Kursi. When we are talking about Ayatul Kursi, this is what I am saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His glory and magnificence, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a choice. And He says, pick. You want to pick Allah? Pick Allah. And this is what will happen. What will happen? You will be taken out from darkness into light, from misguidance to guidance, from stress to to peace of mind and tranquility. From a place of fear and terror to a place of security. On the contrary, you're free to choose. La ikraha fid din. Free to choose. On the contrary, if you choose the opposite, which is that you say, well, I don't care. I will not believe in Allah. I don't believe in all this stuff. No problem. No problem. But do remember that if you do that, then the opposite happens, which is that you are being taken now from light into darkness, from guidance to misguidance, from tranquility and safety to insecurity and fear and terror, from peace of mind to stress. Because the moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes out of your heart is then filled with the darkness of all that is there in this world. All the threats, the real and the imaginary, they will fill your heart. And your heart will be full of turmoil and smoke. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us not do this to ourselves. It is particularly problematic and pathetic and very sad and tragic for Muslims to do this, because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody disbelieved in Allah because they didn't really know Allah, then there's some plank for them to stand on and say, well, you know, I did not know. What about a Muslim? Now you might say, well, I did not disbelieve. Sure, you did not disbelieve as in you did not deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue. But what do our actions indicate? Do they indicate belief or disbelief? When I look at myself, when I look at my actions, am I seeing, when I look at the actions, are these the actions of somebody who believes in Allah and who believes in the meeting with Allah? Or do they look like the actions of somebody who really does not believe that all this is going to happen? Which one? Many of us indulge in committing sins in secret. May Allah protect us. People watch pornography. They do. I don't want to make a list of all the stuff that people do. You know what you do. If you are one of those, may Allah protect you from yourself. If you are one of those who is committing sins in secret, ask yourself this question and say, secret from whom? Secret from whom? How is it a sin in secret when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami'ul Basir? When He hears everything, He sees everything. Alimum bi dhati sudur. He knows even what is in our hearts. How can you hide? Where will you hide? And if you still believe that it is secret, then it means that you don't believe that Allah can see, you don't believe that Allah knows, you don't believe that Allah can hear. If that is the case, then what does that say about your belief? Is it belief or is it disbelief? I'm asking you to think about it for yourself. I'm not making fatwa on anybody. I'm saying that if I gave you this case study and I said, here is a person who is committing this sin. This person is committing this sin in secret, or what he thinks is secret, whereas he claims to believe in Allah. He claims to believe that Allah is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-hearing. Then how do these two things match? If Allah is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, then how come you believe that Allah does not see what you are doing right now? So it's one of the two. So either you don't believe that Allah can see and hear and know, or you've got some way of hiding. Now, brothers and sisters, let us not play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's too dangerous. Let's not play games with Allah. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all that we have without even asking. Without even asking. Allah gave us iman. Allah gave us a beautiful form. Allah gave us all kinds of strengths. He gave us our faculties. He gave us intelligence. Right? Allah gave us sustenance. He gave to some, He gave wealth. To some others, He gave influence. All that we have. And anyone who feels, oh, you know, I don't have something, I tell, my standard answer is this. Take a deep breath. You could do that, right? You could take a nice deep breath. Inhale and exhale. Right? You could do that. Now go into, and don't go physically, but just mentally, think about that. What is happening in a COVID ward where people are on ventilators? If they get COVID-19 and they die, what are they dying of? Sometimes they die of other things, but if they die of this particular virus itself, then they die of suffocation, respiratory failure. They can't breathe. So I just said Allah gave you a beautiful form, Allah gave you wealth, influence and so on and so on. And now you say, no, but you know, well, I'm ugly, I'm poor, I'm this, I'm that. Then I'm saying to you, take a deep breath. And now tell me, what value does that deep breath have for you? You want to know what the value of that breath is? Go to that COVID patient who's on a ventilator, who's gasping for breath, who cannot breathe, respiratory failure, and ask him what is he willing to pay to take one nice deep breath like the one you took. That is the value of it. Allah gave it to you free. Allah didn't charge you money for that. When somebody is on a ventilator, the hospital is charging. What are they charging for? To breathe. To enable you to breathe. Allah enabled you to breathe. You breathe, I breathe all the time. Should we not be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? And what is the way of being thankful to Allah? The way of being thankful to Allah is to obey Allah. Is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, this deen is so beautiful. It is so easy. There's so few rules. Some of you must be, eyes must be open. No, few rules. Of course. Very few rules. Everything in Islam is halal except a few things which have been prohibited for your benefit. It doesn't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam prohibited addiction, it prohibited, you know, consumption of alcohol and drugs and so on, and cigarettes and tobacco and whatnot. Who does it benefit? If I have a clean life, if I'm not addicted to, if I'm not, you know, addicted to various kinds of substances, if I have a clean life, who am I benefiting? Allah? Islam said, be faithful to your spouse. Do not indulge in extramarital affairs. So if you do that, who are you benefiting? Yourself. You will have a beautiful marriage. Right? My brothers and sisters, every single prohibition of Islam is for the benefit of the individual. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Samad, He is free from all needs and wants. Allah does not need anything. So nothing can benefit Him, nothing can harm Him. The benefit and harm is for us. This is the meaning of having the azmat of Allah in our hearts. Why do I go to worship Allah? Why do you pray? Not as a musibah to be complete. No. We go because I want to talk to Allah.
We go because we want to thank Allah. We go because this is the great honor that Allah gave us and said, come into my presence, come into my darbar, come into my, come before me. And the one who is rejecting it, what is he doing? This is what we need to think about. Do I have the azmat? Do I have the greatness and glory and magnificence of Allah in my heart? How do I know that? Do I pray 5 times a day? Number one. Number two, what is my attitude with regard to that prayer? Do I pray with anticipation, with enthusiasm, with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do I pray as, this is, oh my God, this is one problem? Which one? Enough for this session, inshallah. More later. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. We ask Allah to give us the sweetness of Iman, so that we can obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala full of joy, not as a, not out of fear, or not as a, as a imposition. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.